We wanted to hear from you on what it's like to protest for a cause and hear your thoughts on how you measure the impact. For that, we turn to Lee Hill, our Public Insight Network analyst and reporter. Lee, welcome.
Hey, Pat.
So what have you been hearing?
Well, we heard from a lot of you through our Public Insight Network who have taken to the streets for one reason or another, and some who find other ways to make their voices heard. Now, whether you agree with the ideas behind the Occupy Wall Street rallies, those protesters are exercising a basic democratic right, we wanted to find out about how other Coloradans exercise that right of free assembly and free speech. Stephen Randall in Denver knows a little something about protesting. In 1986, Stephen marched from, get this, Pat, Los Angeles to New York. It took 9 months, and it was called the Great Peace March for Global Nuclear Disarmament. Now, there are some people who criticize the Occupy movement, saying it doesn't have a clear message or list of demands. Well, Stephen says he can relate to that criticism from his own protest.
Nobody had a kind of consistent message. I mean, it was all over the boards. Every walk of life you can imagine was on this peace march. And I became rather frustrated with that because no one was hearing your message because you didn't have a consistent message.
But Pat, looking back, he says the message to outsiders really wasn't the most important part of his experience.
We may not have had an impact outside of the group of people who were walking together. The biggest impact was on ourselves and each other and the relationships that we built there.
But Lee, others felt the message was important.
That's right. Ann Huff thinks having a clear message to convey is the most important thing when protesting. She lives in Windsor, Colorado now, but used to live in San Francisco. And that's where she marched in the 1990s following the Rodney King incident. And you might remember King is the African-American man who was filmed being beaten in Los Angeles by white police officers. That situation sparked a national outcry fueled by racial tensions that caused what's infamously remembered today as the L.A. riots. And Ann had this to say about the Occupy movement, writing, quote, "The protesters are giving me a little bit of hope for America. I just wish they'd find some central idea so they could brand their message better. Sharing the sentiment is not enough." And Pat, Ann told us she's unable to march because she's caring for her sick husband, but says she does support the Occupy movement and that she's written to her elected officials on their behalf.
Lee, I understand we also heard from a group of protesters who've become very visible within the past year or so.
That's right. Quite a few Tea Party supporters weighed in with their experiences. Sue Huey lives in Grand Junction.
The first protest that I've ever attended was a Minuteman protest, and there was a group of maybe 20 of us. We had good reception from passersby. There was only one carload that went by and shouted some obscenities at us. But just about everyone that did go by either honked, waved, or whatever. So it showed there were a lot of people that agreed with what we were doing.
And here's what she thinks about protests overall and about the Occupy movement.
I think they're a good thing if they have a strong purpose behind them. But the protests that are going on now, unless they have a real purpose and make it known what that purpose is, I think it's just futile what they're having to spend to police the group and to clean up after them and so forth. That's costing us money.
But Diana Shea is also a Tea Party supporter, but says that messaging and purpose isn't always in black and white.
I think the Tea Party is a real mixed crowd, in the same way that I expect that the Occupy Wall Street is a real mixed crowd, that you know, you're going to have people who are saying just absolutely ridiculous things. So I'm a kind of reluctant supporter of the Tea Party or a qualified supporter of the Tea Parties. It's not a kind of primary identification for myself, but I'm glad it's happening. I'm glad that it's continued because I think it's overall a good thing.
Lee, did we hear from any Occupy protesters in Colorado?
You know, we did, Pat. We heard from people protesting as part of Occupy Denver and from people still considering whether they'll join similar protests in Grand Junction and in Pueblo. And Susan Gamble has some experience as a protester. She marched for women's rights as a college student and later in San Francisco against the war in Iraq. And she decided to join protesters at Occupy Denver.
There's something really wrong with our government right now. When I heard about the Occupy movement, I thought that was great. The people were standing up and just saying, this isn't working. So I just kind of thought I'd go and join them for a moment and see what they were saying.
And Lee, what did she have to say about her experience and the impact?
Well, you know, I did ask her that question.
Some of what people were saying was kind of socialist, like we deserve all these things, but not particularly practical. You know, I fundamentally really believe in our country and in democracy, and I hope that what will come of it is that people will become more thoughtful voters.
But Pat, not everyone chooses to march or participate in a public rally. For instance, Julie Bush of Denver prefers another form of protest. She writes, quote, "I think a bigger impact can be made by spending your money where it counts. I vote with my dollar. Ultimately, the power lies in the hands of the consumer."
And the reality is, whatever the form of protest demands are not always met.
You're right about that. Connie Brady lives in Grand Junction, and a couple of years ago, she and her husband led demonstrations to protest the closing of a facility for the developmentally disabled. That's where their son was being cared for. Well, the place had been ordered closed due to budget cuts. Her family joined employees of the center to march, make phone calls, and they even organized town hall meetings. And in the end, here's what happened.
We were not able to stop the closure of the skilled nursing facility, but we felt like we really did make a difference. As a result, funds were raised and a local agency in town built three group homes that housed the people that lost their homes in the facility.
And I should mention that we really heard some rich perspectives, and you can read more of these comments at our website at cpr.org. And so we just want to thank all of you who participated. And if you still want to tell us more about your experiences, go to cpr.org, click on the left side of the homepage, and there you'll see a link for Public Insight Network.
Lee, thank you.
Thank you. My pleasure, Pat.
Lee Hill is Colorado Public Radio's Public Insight Analyst.